Today's shir is Masechta Sota Daf Chaf Beis, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph on the second line. As the Gemara mentioned in the previous shir, one of the people that the Gemara described as a Rosh Ha'orim, someone who's Karav Hashana V'Leishimesh Tamid Chachamim, so the Gemara continues discussing such an individual. And says the Gemara, Itma, Kara v'shana, or somebody learned Chumash v'shana, and he learned Mishnayis v'lashimesh Talmid HaChachamim. And as we explained in the previous shir, the Rishonim have two explanations in this. One is somebody who learns Chumash and Mishnayis, but does not learn Gemara. And because he doesn't learn Gemara, he doesn't understand the Mishnayis properly, or he doesn't understand that the Mishnah is referring to a specific situation, or he doesn't recognize that the Mishnah represents only the opinion of one Shita. So he's a Karav Hashanah V'Lashimish Tamid Chachamim. Another Pshat in Karav Hashanah V'Lashimish Tamid Chachamim is someone who learned but did not learn by a Rebbe. And there's a great need to learn from a Rebbe who can explain to the Talmud all of the intricacies of Talmud Torah and the right way how to learn. So somebody is in such a category, Rabbi Elazar Maharez Am Oretz. He is considered an Am Oretz. So Pashut Pshat is that he's an Am Oretz. He's a person who doesn't know how to learn if he didn't have these qualities. Another Pshat that I saw that he's an Am Oretz is that it says in Pirkei Avos, Lo Am Oretz Chassid. Why is Loyam Oretz Chassid? Because a Chassid, by definition, is someone who has a Rebbe whom he follows. And Am Oretz doesn't have a Rebbe whom he follows. And Al Gemara is saying that this person who is Loishimesh Talmid HaChumim, and he doesn't have a Rebbe who taught him how to learn, therefore he is considered an Am Oretz. And Rashi says, we therefore cannot trust him as far as Taharos, on our maestros, and we assume that whatever he touches is tamei. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani Omer, harei ze bor, that the person is considered a bor. A bor is even worse than Am Oretz, because a bor, as the Mefarshim explained, not only is missing a certain level of learning, but he's also missing a certain way of behaving. His behavior is unacceptable. Another pshat that I saw is that a boor is a field that doesn't produce payrois, doesn't produce crops. This Am Oretz, this person who's not learning properly, doesn't properly produce payrois, and because he doesn't learn properly, he does not have a paskin properly, and therefore he is like a sodei boor that's not really producing. Some say not only is he not producing, but it's actually even worse. A state boar doesn't produce anything productive. It produces thorns and weeds. So too, not only doesn't this person have a productive aspect to his learning, it's actually destructive like the state boar. Reb Yane Amar Hareza Kuti. He's considered like a Kuti. We know the Kutin was a nation that was brought by Sancheriv to live in Eretz Yisrael, and they ultimately were Megayer because they were Gerei Arayis. There was a concern that the lions, wild animals, were attacking Eretz Yisrael, and they only became Gerim out of fear of these animals. But they really never accepted Torah Shebapeh. They only accepted Torah Shebiksaf. And this person also, who as we explained earlier, doesn't have a proper appreciation for our Torah Shebapeh, is considered like a Kuti. That the halacha is that a Kuti, you're not allowed to drink from his wine, his bread is prohibited. So too, we have to stay away from these people because they don't understand how to learn properly. Mefarshim go on to explain that not only don't they know how to learn properly, and they don't act properly, but they really were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And they explain that that's what our Gemara means to say, that somebody who's a Kar of a Shana, V'lo Shimesh Talmud Chachamim, is on a slippery slope, Chas V'Shalom, towards Avodah Zarah. Rab Ya'ach Ba'Yakov Omer Hareza Magosh. He's like a Mechashif, like a sorcerer. Again, why? Says the Gemara. Arav Nachman Yitzchak, Mestabriker V'Ach Ba'Yakov, Damri Inshi. People say, Ratan Magusha, a Magusha says his different verses, V'lo Yodem Ayomer, and he doesn't really know what he's saying. Tana Tana, so to this person, is saying different Mishnayis, or maybe different Pesukim, however, V'lo Yodem Ayomer, he doesn't really understand what he is saying. There's a fundamental difference of opinion, I saw, two Pshatim, and how to understand this Gemara. The Karen Ira's approach is that the Gemara is, there's really no machloikis here. What the Gemara means to say is that for a person who's a kar of a shana, v'lashimish tamid chachamim, first he'll be like a amoritz, and from there he ends up to being a bor, and from there he ends up being a kuti, and from there he goes to mekoish. Like we said, it's a slippery slope. However, the Sefer Tferes Tzion has a different approach. His approach is that it really depends on what the circumstances are, why this individual was only a kar v'shana v'lashimish tamid chachamim. Sometimes you have a situation where the person doesn't have the ability to do more than just be kar v'shana v'lashimish tamid chachamim. Such an individual will only be like an amoritz, only be like a bar. But somebody who had the opportunity to be mishamish tamid chachamim and didn't take that opportunity, he is certainly far worse, and he is compared to a kuti or to a magosh. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Eiz Amoritz. Since we've been discussing Amoritz, the Gemara continues, Eiz Amoritz, Kol She'eni Kari Krishma, Shachas V'Avris V'Bechaseha. If he doesn't say Krishma in the morning and the evening, he is considered Amoritz Devar Ameya. And as the Mepharshim explained, the halach is, we have the obligation to learn Torah in the morning and in the evening. The basic way of being mekayim that din is by saying Krishma. This person who doesn't even say Krishma is the example of Amoritz. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that actually one could be mekayim, could fulfill the chiyuv of a hagisa by yom v'layla by saying Krishma in the morning and the evening. However, says the Gemara, v'dover zeh also la'omroi la'amoritz. One may not say this to la'amoritz, because the amoritz will do that. He'll just say Krishma, and he won't do any more learning. So since this person doesn't know this din, so this person doesn't even say Krishma, and that's why he is an amoritz. Devar emeya. Ask Tosfos that the Gemara Masechta the Brachos and the Gemara Masechta the Gittin gives different explanations of who Amoritz is. Even in the name of Rameya, somebody doesn't eat Tchulim, but Tahara, and different examples. Yet these opinions are not cited in our Gemara. So Tosfos explains there are different categories of Amoritz that have different repercussions as far as the halacha is concerned. Sometimes you'll have an amoritz, Taisha says that's not acceptable to be a kosher witness. Sometimes you'll have amoritz that you can't be mezamin, we can't say birchas hamazon beziman with. Sometimes we have an amoritz that we're not allowed to buy certain food items for. Taisha says there are very many different categories of amoritz, and not every definition of amoritz is exclusive of the other, because they have the different definitions, they have different halachic ramifications. Chacham Oimrim, who is an amoritz? Kol she'eino meniach tefillin. If he doesn't put on tefillin, ben azei aimer, kol she'eino tzitzis v'bigdoi. If he doesn't wear tzitzis. And the Mefarshim explain, what is our Gemara saying, kol she'eino tzitzis v'bigdoi? Then not only is there an obligation if one is wearing a beged with four corners that he has to put on tzitzis. But if he, even if he's not wearing the beged, but he has such a beged, he owns such a garment, there should be tzitzis on it. And he doesn't put tzitzis on that garment. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Amar, Kol Sheyesh Leibonim, Veinam Gadlan L'Torah. If he has children and he doesn't teach them Torah. And the Mefarshim explain, that the Masha explains, that actually all of these opinions relate back to the opinion of Kol Shein Hakara Kriyas Shema. And it means as follows. Even if you'll have a person who says Kriyas Shema in the morning and the evening, however, if he doesn't follow what it says in Kriyas Shema, he doesn't put on tefillin, he doesn't put on tzitzis, all of these mitzvahs mentioned in the parashas of Kriyas Shema, he doesn't raise his children to learn Torah, again, something that mentioned in Kriyas Shema, v'shinantam levanecha, that is Adam Ha'aretz. Acherim oimrim, afilu kar v'shono, v'leshimish talmid ha'chachamim, zehu Adam Ha'aretz, he too falls into the category of an Adam Ha'aretz. Kar v'leshono, if somebody learned chumash and didn't learn mishnayis, harei zebur. Loi kar v'leshono, all of, if he didn't learn, not chumash, not mishnayis, he didn't do any learning, says the mar on him, the pasuk says, v'zerati es beis Yisrael, v'es beis Yehuda, zera adam zera behema. Such a person, rachmana litzlan, is considered like zera behema. Says the Gemara, Shlomo HaMelech had a son, Rechavam, who actually succeeded him. And Shlomo HaMelech is giving his son, Rechavam, advice. And he tells him, Yireyes Hashem, b'ni Melech, my son the king, fear Hashem, vim shoinim altis arev, and don't associate with shoinim. Who are shoinim? Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, elu sheshoinim halachis. These are the people who learn halachis, but as we're learning, don't learn, are not shimish tamid chachamim with their learning. Ask the Mapshita, that's what it means. So I saw the Meraim Yisada asks, why do we say it's Pshita? How do we see, or how do we know that it's obvious that this pasuk is referring to people who learn without the not properly? So the Meraim Yisada explains, if the pasuk were just to mean that im shoinim were people who deviate from the proper path, altis arev, don't associate yourself, so the pasuk should have used the word mishanim. Why did the pasuk use the word shoinim? It must be there's another meaning. And the meaning is shoinim, those that learn but don't learn properly. Ask the Gemara. It's not obvious, answers the Gemara. Because ma'aretayma, shoinim b'cheit. Maybe the pasuk, what Shlomo HaMelech was telling Rechavam, was not to associate with people who are repetitive violators of aveira. Ukrava huna, damrav huna, Kivinsh Adam of Avera Vishanaba, once a person repeats doing Avera, Hutraloi. And as the Gemara, famous Gemara says, Mesechta Kedushin, Hutraloi Salkadaitach, just because a person repeats doing an Avera, does that Avera become permitted? Elanasis like a heter, he thinks it's mutter. So that's what I would think Shainim means, Kamash Milan, that Shainim doesn't mean somebody who repeats doing Averas, rather what Shainim means is someone who doesn't learn properly. So ask the Mefarshim, and maybe he does mean that. Maybe he does indeed mean someone who repeats doing Averis. So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that there is no need for Shlomo HaMelech to tell his son not to associate with people who are repeat violators of Averis. Of course, it's understood with such people you shouldn't associate. Another terutz is that with Shleiman, one is supposed to avoid associating with Balei Avera. It doesn't have to be somebody who's shoinim, somebody who repeats doing the Avera. Even if they do the Avera once, you shouldn't associate. Why would I have to say shoinim, only repeat violators? But then I saw another Teretz with just the opposite. Shleiman HaMelech would have never told his son, Rechavam, don't associate with Balei Avera. Certainly, Rechavam, who is the Melech, who is the king, should associate with the Balei Avera and should attempt to be makariv of them, to draw them closer to Avodas Hashem. That can't be what Shlomo HaMelech meant to tell his son. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Hatanoim, those who learn Mishnayis, Mavlei Oilam, destroy the world. Ask the Gemara, Mavlei Oilam Salkadatach, if somebody learns Mishnayis, he destroys the world. Omer, Ravina, as we've been learning, Shemayra Halacha B'Tech Mishnasim, they learn, they paskin just by learning Mishnayis without learning the Gemara. Tanya Nami Hachi, Omer of Yeshua, V'chi Mavlei Oilam Hein, are people who only learn Mishnayis, people who destroy the world. V'lai Miyashvi Oilam Hein, aren't people who learn, the people who keep the world going. As we know, the Pasuk says, Shenemar Halichos Oilam Loi, Atikri Halichos Elo Halochos, Shemar Halocha M'Tayach Mishnasun, if they only learn from a Mishnah, it's an unacceptable way of learning. The Chavetz Chaim explains, we say, every day in davening, kala shayna halachos b'chol yoyim, whoever learns halachos every day, muftach lo yishu ben oylem haba, he will be a ben oylem haba. Shenemar halichos oylem loy al tikri halichos elo halachos. Ask the Chavetz Chaim. We know it says in Pirkei Avos, kol Yisrael yesh lev chelik oylem haba. Everyone has a shir in oylem haba. So what's so special about those that learn halacha? Furthermore, ask the Chofetz Chaim that why is it so important to learn halacha? Explains the Chofetz Chaim that if somebody learns halacha, he knows what the right thing to do is and what's the wrong thing to avoid. Every Jew, Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lam Chelek Lam Haba, but Chelek Lam Haba could be a small share. A Ben Olam Haba is someone who's going to have a beautiful mansion in Olam Haba. How does one become worthy of having a beautiful mansion b'Olam Haba? By learning halacha, by knowing what he's supposed to do by what he's not supposed to do. The Sefer Divrei Shaul has a different explanation. He explains there are many Gemaras that we look at those Gemaras and we have a hard time understanding how did this come into the Gemara. Seems to be speaking about very mundane matters, shor shadoga chasapora, an axe gored a cow, gemaras that we don't really feel any relationship to, besechta saita is not relevant, bezman hazeh. Says the gemara, that every learning Torah is the way that we are zoichet about olam haba. So as we complete the sugya of karav shana v'loshimish tamid chachamim, the Mashah says that means that one should not answer a shayla just by looking in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch itself only lists the halachas, but there may be certain nuances in the question that the person has that we need to know the background, that just learning the Shulchan Aruch is not adequate. The Pesach Tshuva says the Bezman Hazeh nowadays that the Shulchan Aruch is printed together with the Noisek Kalim, the Shach, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, and all the other Noisei Kelim that give the background of the basis of the Pesach Shulchan Aruch and all of the various circumstances and reasonings that go into every halacha, one may paskin a shayla from the Shulchan Aruch. I saw this interesting machloikis, if one could paskin a shayla from looking in the Rambam, because the Rambam too doesn't really go into all of the details of the halachas he mentions. It's interesting to note that Ramosha, in the Gros Moshe, says that even though we have the Shulchan Aruch printed with all of the Noisei Kelim, as the Pesach Tshuva mentions, still an integral part in learning is learning from a Rebbe. An integral part of learning is learning together with a group of people who help us understand what we're learning. And therefore, Ramosha says that if somebody just learns always on his own, without hearing a shir from a Rebbe, and without the other requirements to learning, he will not totally succeed in learning and not be able to paskin shaylos. Certainly, the Mefarshim of the Pesach must say that one should not paskin shaylos out of the Sifrei HaKitzurim, out of the various Svarim that are printed, that just mentioned briefly, summarize the halachas, without going into any in-depth explanation of those halachas. The Mishnah spoke about a certain group of people who destroyed the world. Isha Prusha, says the Gemara, Tanna Rabbanan, Besula Tzayon, Tzalayonis, Machlaikis Rashi and Taisvis, what is a Besula Tzalayonis? We're going to learn like Rashi, who explains this is a Besula who davens all of the time. Taisvis says, Besula, the Gersa is not Tzalayonis, but rather Tzemesis. It's a Besula who's always fasting. What is the problem with a Besula who's always fasting? So the Taisvis explains that this woman is perhaps having immoral relations with men. But then it's going to come the night of her wedding, she won't have a besulim. So she fasts all the time, so that when her husband, at the night of the marriage, asks her, why don't you have besulim, she will say, because I fasted all the time, and it had effect on my body, that I should not have besulim. Says the Gemara, that's a besulat salayonis. Amana shayvavis is a amana who goes around from houses to house. She's overly friendly with too many people. That's called amana shayvavis. The katan shloikol l'chadashav. The Gemara will soon explain what that means. Hare elu mavle oilam. They destroy the world. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Eini v'hamer Rabbi Yochanan. L'manu yiras chait mepsula. We learned all the halachas about yiras chait, being fear to doing aveir from a psula. The kibos char we learn from almana, and the Gemara explains yiras chait mepsula. What does it mean that we learn about yiras chait from a psula? The Rabbi Yochanan shamel ahu psula. Rabbi Yochanan heard this psula. The nafla ap of a kamra. She fell on her face and davened. Rebadish loylam. Barasa ganeidim barasa gehenim. You created ganeidim. You created gehenim. Barasa tzadikim, barasa rishoyim. You created tzadikim, you created rishoyim. You wrote for necho, shili kashlu bibnei odom. That no man should come to an obstacle because of me. Asked the Mefarshim, why was she only davening about other people not coming to an obstacle because of her? Why wasn't she davening for herself? The Masha explains, because she knew that she wasn't going to do anything wrong. Her entire concern was that other people should not come to do something wrong because of her. Another teretz that I saw, the Yaakov says, is that the Gemara says, Hakol b'dei shemayim, chutz miyirushamayim. Yirushamayim is only in the hands of ourselves. So she couldn't daven to Hashem for her own yirushamayim, because that's in the hands of Hashem. She davened about others. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says, Hamispal ba'ad chaveroi v'hut tzorech lois adover hu nena tchila. Somebody who davens with somebody else, but he needs the exact same thing, he gets answered first. So this woman, by davening for others, would also have success for herself. And yet another teretz that I saw is that for herself, of course she davened. Every morning she davened, as we all daven, Al tivyan al dar lichet v'loy d'avayr v'loy d'avayr v'loy d'nusoyim. She already davened for herself. What she was doing here was also davening for others. Ask the Sefer Ben Yoyada, we need to learn Yiras Chet from this woman. Yiras Chet is one of the fundamentals of our religion. Furthermore, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, on Amud Beis, that one is not supposed to do mitzvahs or not do averis because of schar. And here, she was saying, I want Gan Eden, I want to avoid Gehenim. That's not the reason to do mitzvahs, explains the Ben Yoyada. What we learn from this besula is that not only is a person able to daven and do good for themselves, they're able to daven for others. She wasn't davening, as we said, for herself. She was davening for others. That's what we learned, something new from this pesula. The halacha that one is not supposed to do a mitzvah or avoid doing an aveira because of schar v'oynish is only a mitzvah and aveira that we're not allowed to do. But we're here where she was davening for someone else. That's lefnim mishuras adin, and for that you're allowed to request schar v'oynish. Kibul schar mi'almana. How do you learn about getting schar from almana? that he had mona to have a bet knishta b'shavuosai. There was a mona who had a shul in her neighborhood. Kol yom have asked your matzal be medrash Rabbi Yochanan, but she went every day to daven in the base medrash of Rabbi Yochanan. Amala, so Rabbi Yochanan asked her, "Biti loy beis aknesa b'shavuosach? Is aren't there any shuls in your neighborhood?" Amrei, Rabbi, v'loy schapsi esheshli. I get schar alicha for walking to this shul which is not near me. Mefarshim explain that in Masechet Shabbos it says the Rabbi Yochanan had the shul right next to his house. Hiddus Medrash. Here we're learning the Rabbi Yochanan learned about schar alicha. So Farshim explain the Rabbi Yochanan, who spent all of his time learning, certainly was supposed to have his beis medrash next to his house, that he should be able to go learn immediately. It was only this woman who didn't have the need of going to a beis medrash to learn, walked to shul to have the schar psis. And here we learn the concept of schar alicha, which even though it's not mentioned in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham does mention that there's an issue of schar halicha. In fact, I saw from the Sefer Shail Satshuvah's Torah Lishma that included in schar halicha is that if one could walk to shul, he shouldn't drive to shul. Schar halicha means to exert oneself to go to shul by walking to shul. There's a machlokes if schar halicha only applies when it comes to going to daven and shul, or applies to all mitzvahs. Some pesukim suggest it only applies when going to a shul, because going to shul, the purpose of going to Beis HaKnesses is to be mizdabik, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there is a specific issue of schar alicha, which answers another question. The question is, how could one walk by a shul when he's going to the shul that he's davening? Isn't there an inyan of eim avir mala mitzvahs? The one's not supposed to pass by the opportunity to do a mitzvah. So if I'm walking to shul, how could I walk by another shul and not enter? So if we're going to learn that there's a special concept of schar halicha and going to shul, so then we can answer, here is different. Another answer is that indeed, the only time one has schar halicha is when he goes to, when he walks to his shul, he doesn't pass by any other shuls. Another teretz that I saw is that if the shul that the person is going to has something special to it. For example, this shul that Al Gemara refers to, the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Yochanan did all of his learning, then one may pass by a shul to go to a shul that is more significant. All the psalmists can give other examples that if in the shul he passes by, they don't daven with the nusach that he's accustomed to daven. If chas v'sholem, in the shul that he walks by, there are machlokes, the disagreements, and he doesn't want to be a member of such a shul, certainly he's allowed to walk by such a shul. Other pious can give another example, that let's say a person was living in a neighborhood, and he was davening in a shul, and he got accustomed to davening in that shul. And now he moved further away, and for him to go to his original shul, he has to walk by other shuls, but since he's accustomed to davening in that original shul, he may go to his original minyan. In fact, I saw on the same vein, that let's say somebody originally was not living close to a shul, and he used to walk and get schar alicha, and then he moved, and now his shul is closer to his home, or the shul moved, and the shul is closer to his home. Since he always did get the schar alicha, he will continue getting schar alicha for going to those, for the going to the shul that he's going to. So the question of Gemara, as the Mashal explains, is that the Gemara said that Almana Shovis, Almana who walks around the whole neighborhood, is Mavle Olam, destroys the world. And here we had an Almana that went through the whole neighborhood to get to her shul, and she's considered the person who he learned the concept of Kibul Schar from. That's how the Mashal explains the Gemara. From the Psula, there is no question. However, I did see Mefarshim that explained that even from the Psula, there is a question. Because the Gemara's question is that this psula that we learned the entire concept of Yiras Chet from, davened. But she davened in the regular time. She didn't spend the whole time davening. Says the Gemara, Ki kama kigon Yochanan Vesra TV. When we spoke about a woman who acts inappropriately, it's referring to Yochanan Vesra TV. As Rashi explains, Yochanan Vesra TV was a machshefa. She was a sorcerer. And when a woman would go into labor, she would say kishuf to prevent this woman from having children, from having a child. Then she would go visit the woman in childbirth and say something to take off the kishuf, and the child would be born. And the new mother would be so thankful to this Yochanan Basra TV for helping her have a child, not recognizing that all of her problems in the first place were because of Yochanan Basra TV. Until one day, there was a worker in the home of Yochanan Basra TV who saw what she does and exposed her. That is a woman whose Mavlei Olam destroys the world. Another example that Brisa gave of a Mavlei Olam is a katan shloikol of chadoshav. It's a katan who didn't complete his months. What does that mean? There's a Talmud Chacham who rebels against his teachers. And I saw a beautiful explanation of the Gemara. We know why a Talmud who rebels against his teachers is considered like a child that didn't complete his months. He says, we know that when a child is in the womb of his mother, he receives nourishment from his mother. But if that line of nourishment is severed, the child is in danger. Here too, every Talmud receives nourishment from his Rebbe. But if he severs the relationship with his Rebbe, he rebels against his Rebbe, he's like the cotton shleikolov chadashev. Reb Abba Amma, the Talmud Chacham shigleigia lairoa meira. It's referring to Talmud Chacham who's not ready to paskin shilas and ready begins to paskin. Damar avu amar hun amar rav. Maidik siv ki rabim chalolim hipilo vetsumim kol harugea. Rabim chalolim hapila killed many, is referring to Zatamut Chacham, Shloigi Elai Roa Moira, a Talmud person who's not up to paskening and already paskins. Vatsubim kol harugeo, Zatamut Chacham, Shigi Elai Roa, that's also somebody who can paskin, Vein Moira, and doesn't paskin, is also unacceptable. The person has to know where he stands. The Gra says that it says in the Seres Adibris, Loi Sirtzach. And we know that the Seres Adibris, there's a Tam Elyoin and a Tam Tachtoin. When we follow the Tam Elyoin, Loi Sirtzach has a Kometz under the Tzaddik. When we follow the Tam Tachtoin, it has a Pasach. To teach us, sometimes there has to be a Kometz. Kometz means to be Mekametz, to close. Sometimes closing your mouth could cause Ritzicha, when you're supposed to open your mouth. And sometimes Pasach, opening your mouth, could cause Ritzicha when you're not supposed to open your mouth. Ask the Gemara Vat Kama, how long should a Talmud wait until he paskins Shilas? Arab and Shin, until 40 years. Machlaikis Rashi and Taisus, how to understand Arab and Shin. Rashi says, until he's actually 40 years old. Taisus explains, Arab and Shin means until he has been learning for 40 years. Any, ask the Gemara of a Rabbi Oiri, Rabbi Paskin, and we know the Rabbi didn't live past 40 years. For as the Gemara explains, the children of Eli were cursed that they shouldn't have Arichas Yomim. Rava, who learned Torah, lived till 40. Abaya, who not only learned Torah, but also did Chesed, lived to 60. So Rava's whole life was only till 40 years. So how could he have ever passed the Shaila if we're learning that somebody is not supposed to paskin before he's 40 years old? Answers the Gemara, Bishovin. So Rashi explains, the way to understand Bishovin is that if he's equal to the Rav of the city, even though he's not 40 years old, he's allowed to paskin Shailas. Tosfos asks Rashi, because he says, the Gemara Masech the Bracha says, Be'asrad is gaver tamon, so if a person, if there's a Rav in the city, he shouldn't go up to the plate to be the Rav. So why does Pshat and Beshoven? So Rashi, Tosfos gives three explanations. One explanation is that if the rov of the city is equal to this person and he's under 40 years old, he shouldn't pass in shilas. Only if he is greater than the rov of the city, even though he's not 40 years old, may he paskin. Another approach Tosfos explains is that if the person has a position in the city, so there, if he's 40, even though he's not 40 years old, since he has an established position, he has a shul or whatever, he could paskin. If he doesn't have a position in the city and he's under 40, he shouldn't paskin. And yet another pshat is given that Deir Gemara is not referring to paskin shilas. It's not referring to teaching Torah. Deir Gemara is referring to being Isaac Mitzarchi Tzibur, working for the community. And the Gemara is saying, but as for this, Gavit Amon, if there's somebody else could take care of the communal needs, you shouldn't take care of the communal needs, you should sit and learn. Only when there's no one else should you be mevatel your Torah to go learn. The Mishnah spoke about a makas Purushin. Tana Rabbanan, Shiva Purushin Hain. The seven types of Purushin, people who act very holy. First the Gemara is going to list them, and then the Gemara is going to explain each one. Prashikmi, Prashnakvi, Prash Kazoi, Prash Meduchya, Prash Machavasi Vasena, Parash Mahava, and Parash Meira. And that Gemara begins to explain. Parash Shikmi, Zel Oisimas Shchem. Somebody acts like Shchem, who we know only agreed to have a Bris Mila in order that he should be able to marry Dina, totally without for an ulterior motive. Ask them Farshim. We're going to learn in a couple of moments that a person loyalam yasek adam b'tayr mitzvah shloy lishma shemitayich shloy lishma ba'al lishma. So what's wrong if they did it shloy lishma? So one teretz that the Rishonim give is that Shechem did it b'pirsum. Shechem did it publicly. There, one should never do a mitzvah shloy lishma publicly. Another teretz is that included with the mitzvah that Shechem did came averos. Either the Avera, how they violated Dina, or the Avera that they were chayvel themselves, they wounded themselves with the Bris Mila, there one should not do the mitzvah shloy lishma. Prish Nakvi is that Menakav Sragov, somebody who shuffles his feet as he walks, he's trying to show that he's a very big onav, that he's very modest, and that's called a prishnakvi. He's only doing it to fool people that they should think he's a holy person. Prash kazoi, or am nachma yitzchak, zem mekes dam l'ksolim. That he walks and he bangs into the walls and he bleeds because he bangs into the walls. And that also is just to people should think that he's a great person. Prash medochya, am rabba shela, the meshapakadochya. He walks over, bent over like a pestle. So ask the mefarshim that the halach is that a person is not allowed to walk the koim is a kufa, upright. So why is Al Gemara saying that there's something wrong? So the Mashal says that even if the Gemara says that somebody's not allowed to walk the koim is a kufa, everything has to be done in a normal fashion. Being totally bent over is not what the Shulchan Aruch means when it says that one shouldn't walk the koim is a kufa. The next case was Parsh Machavasi Vasena. What must I do so I should do it? Ask the Gemara Mal Yosahi. This is very good. The person wants to know what he's supposed to do. Answers the Gemara, El Da'ama Machavasi Suvasena. What else do I have to do? Sort of implying that he already has done everything he's supposed to do, which of course smacks of terrible arrogance that he already has done everything he's supposed to do. Parshme, have a Parshme. Yira is somebody who does mitzvahs and avoid doing averus only for love and hate. A sphere, not l'shem shemayim. Amalei Abayi v'Rav l'Tana, loy tusni, don't include in the list parash me'ahav and parash me'ira. Domer Rav Yehuda me'rav, loy lam yasek adam b'tayr mitzvah shloy l'shma. A person should even always do mitzvahs shloy l'shma, shmetayr shloy l'shma ba l'shma. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with a parash me'ahav and parash me'ira. Ask Tosfos that the Gemara says in Masech Tainis, kol ha'osek b'tayr shloy l'shma. Nasis loy sam hamavis. The one is not allowed to do mitzvah shloy lishma. So why is Al Gemara saying shemitah shloy lishma bol lishma? So Taisa says that that there it's referring to a person that learns Torah and he doesn't have any intent to fulfill what it says in the Torah. That person is a person that should not be, that person should not learn Torah. Another pshat Taisha says is that he learns just l'kanter, l'shyar, he does it just for to start up with other people. That is Torah that one shouldn't learn. It's machlokes rishonim. If somebody is learning, machlokes rishonim, if somebody's learning for COVID, is that acceptable or not? The Ritva says that it's not acceptable. Other rishonim say that it is acceptable. Mefarshim say that Al Gavar says that la'olam yimer adam tayr mitzvahs shloy lishma, shlotay shloy lishma, bal lishma. So the Mefarshim ask, what does that mean? Are we guaranteed the bal lishma? So the Reb Chaim Volozhiner and the Nefesh Chaim explains that it's inevitable that if somebody will spend time learning Torah Shloi Lishma, that he will at least at one point learn Torah Lishma. That's Pshat Shvatach Shloi Lishma Ba Lishma. The Netziv gives a different explanation. He says it could well be that a person will spend his entire life learning Torah Shloi Lishma, but at least his children, his grandchildren, he will merit, will learn Torah Shalai Lishma. Shatai Shalai Lishma. Even if you're learning Torah Shalai Lishma, Baal Lishma, you will have children, grandchildren, who will learn Torah Lishma. And yet another Torah that I saw found in Nezner is that we know that it says mitzvah gereris mitzvah. What the Gemara here means to say is, if somebody learns Torah Shalai Lishma, the schar that he's going to have for that learning is Lishma, that he will come to learn Torah Lishma. And therefore the Chassam Sofer explains, going back to a concept that we learned earlier in our perek, that learning Torah Lishma means not just learning to know how to fulfill a mitzvah, but learning Torah Lishma means learning Torah for the simple sake of learning Torah, even if it's not going to teach you how to fulfill a specific mitzvah. And the Chassam Sofer says that's the kind of Torah that's a gune matzli. But I saw a very nice word from the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi indicates that when one entered into the Beis HaMikdash, the Shulchan was on his right and the Menorah was on his left. Explain the Beis Halevi. We know that the Menorah represents Torah. The Shulchan represents Panosa, other concepts. So he says the Menorah could be on the left side because it represents that even if one is learning Torah Shloi Lishma, it's on the left, still it's considered an acceptable means of learning as we're learning now in our Gemara. But when it comes to other areas of Jewish life, there is no room for anything but perfection, and that's why the Shulchan was on the right side. Continues the Gemara. Arav Nachman by Yitzchak. The metamra metamra, what's hidden is hidden from other people. The megalia megalia, what's revealed everybody knows. However, but dina rabba, the bezin hagodol and shemayim l'spara mahani dechafi gundri, they're going to take revenge for people put on tzitzis and people think that they're really great, but they're really a fraud. And the bezin in shemayim knows the truth and will take revenge from such people. That's how the Mashal explains the Gemara. I saw other Mefarshim explain the Gemara that it's even the Bezdin amongst us that has the obligation to expose those who are fraud. Says the Gemara, Omle Yani Malkul Devisei. Yani, the king said to his wife, Yani had killed out all the Chachmei Yisrael and he was about to die. His wife was very concerned that the Talmidei Chachamim would take revenge. So he said to her, Atas Yarmin Apushim, you don't have to worry about them. They won't act this way. You also don't have to worry, Misha and Apushim, for the people who are my allies, Elman Atzvum, you have to be worried about the people who are fraud. Shadaymel Apushim, they pretend to be like Prushim, however, Masem Kamasi Zimra, on Vakshin Schak Pinchas. They act like Zimri, who we know lived with the Moavis, and they want Schar like Pinchas, who took revenge. The Mashal says, what's the example of Zimri and Pinchas? They represent the two extremes, Zimri and Pinchas, and that's who these people are. They act a terrible way and they want schar like Pinchas. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that the Torah says regarding Pinchas, l'ken hinini noisloi es brisi shalom. Pinchas was blessed with the bracha of shalom. These people, they seem like they want to make shalom, but really their intent is very bad. I saw the Mefarshim explain. We know that there are many different spices included in the Ketores. And many of the spices, the samamonim, that are included in the Ketores are really not clearly spelled out what they are. The one spice that's spelled out is the levoina. Even though we know the levoina has a bad odor, the lesson, as the Gemara says, Masech decreases, is to teach us that we have to include even the Poshi Yisrael, even those that don't act properly as part of Klal Yisrael. However, say the Mefarshim, even if we're including somebody who doesn't act properly, it has to be a Levoina. We know where he stands. We know he's the Levoina. But as our Gemara says, the Tzavuin, those who are fraud, those who pretend to act properly but really don't act properly, they have no place in Klal Yisrael.